not to watch a David Attenborough program as a Christian and not be overwhelmed by the glory of God. But I want to share with you today my relationship with space and how it makes me praise God. My wife and I share many, many interests. We share our faith. We share our passion for travel and food. We share political viewpoints. The list could go on. But there's one huge passion of mine which unfortunately she does not share. In fact, she hates it. My wife hates science. I love science. And in particular, I love the deep contemplation, the big ideas about existence that comes with the science of space, of cosmology. Space is big. I mean, really big. Like, you can't even imagine how big it is. So, let's try. If Earth were the size of a marble, okay, I've kind of tried to make a marble Earth here. How big, and I want some answers from the audience here, the congregation, how big do you think that a scale model of the solar system would have to be if Earth was the size of this marble? Can anyone have a guess? It doesn't have to be miles, it can be like from here to my house, or from here to St. John's.
Kyle? Jamie.
Jamie. The size of the church. Much, much bigger than that. Any other larger guesses?
The UK.
The size of the UK? Good guess, good guess. Okay, let's go a little bit smaller. Yes. The size of London. Now we're getting a little bit closer to this. Okay, so if the Earth were the size of this marble and I were standing in Neptune's orbit, Neptune, the other side of Neptune's orbit, i.e. the size of the solar system, would be at Buckingham Palace. That's how big the solar system is. Now, I'll just remind you the size of the Earth. Remember we're standing on that. Remember that all your loves, your cares, your people who have passed away that you remember, the people who will be living after you, all of human history, all of history is in that. Whoa. But that's not even the universe. This is when I get excited. Okay, so if we were to think of the whole universe, we can't think of the size of a marble. We need to start thinking about the size of the speed of light. Does anyone know what the speed of light is? Didn't think so. Yes?
186,000 miles per second.
Exactly, exactly. I like to round it up to 300,000 miles per second, but yeah, yeah. Exactly, exactly. So it's about 300,000 kilometers per second, kilometers per second. Now, just to put that in context, that's like me jumping from this dais here to the other side of the River Thames and back 100,000 times in 1 second. Okay? That's that distance in a second. Right. Remember that. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I can see my wife glazing over already. To cross the solar system at that speed, it would take you 3.2 years. 3.2 years. To cross our Milky Way galaxy, it would take you 100,000 years at that speed. To cross our known galaxy, it would take you 156 billion years to cross the known universe at that speed. Space is big. And that makes me excited and in awe. My wife's definitely glazed over now. So, what does that have to do with my relationship with space and how it makes me praise God? Okay. Well, at many a dinner party, or stargazing on a camping trip, or, well, even actually in the BBC studios in Scotland, I have found myself in a familiar and oddly reoccurring conversation. Many people I speak to can't seem to understand how a person who is so passionate about cosmology and theoretical physics can be a Christian. They can't grasp that I grasp the emptiness and vastness of space, yet seem full of Christ. It's as if the understanding of scientific ideas somehow acts as an antiseptic in their minds of one's, I'm quoting, delusional comfort blanket of faith. And they ask, but doesn't science disprove there's a God? At this point, I could point out to them the unscientific nature of their questioning. However, a more helpful approach is from Psalm 19, our shout. I'm going to read the first four verses of it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Now, if the person I'm speaking to isn't running away from me having quoted scripture, I'll explain that this psalm, for me, sums up the awe I feel every time I find out a new nugget of scientific information about God's glorious creation. But there's something else in this psalm that I'd like to share with you, and it comes from the idea of the spoken word. The heavens are proclaiming. They are declaring. They are pouring forth speech. They have a voice. The stars are speaking. They speak to us intimately from billions of light years away. Now, I can't help but see the parity between the awesomeness and intimacy that these stars have in the heavens and what that says about Jesus. I can't help but see the parity between the awesomeness and intimacy of the stars in heaven and Jesus. Indeed, we only need to turn to John to see the same. Now, theologians may be scratching their head at this moment. I'm not a professional theologian, but just bear with me in the tenuous link. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not yet understood it. Scientists can understand the physical origins of the universe by looking at the skies. After all, looking through a telescope is truly the same as looking through time. But for Christians, when we look at the heavens, God's glorious and complex creation, we can see something more. We can see the fingerprint of our Creator. Our Creator who made the vast expanse of space. Our Creator who made the light, the energy, the gravitational fields. Our Creator who made the nebulae, galaxies, black holes, and neutron stars. Our Creator who made the universe so finely tuned that if any of the interactions between the fundamental forces which make up the fabric of this universe were slightly changed, there would be no life, no light. There would be no time. Our Creator, who made us in his image. We look up to the heavens and we see a fingerprint of our loving God, who, regardless of our seemingly unfathomable insignificance, came down to live amongst us. He who was at the beginning. He through whom all these things were made. He in whom was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And that light shines in the darkness and calls us through the Holy Spirit to understand his word and his risen life.